Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 352, Content Marketing Strategies for Small Firm Architects, with best-selling author Lacey Boggs. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, RCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and so much more, and Monograph, the time tracking and project management tool built for architects by architects. Lacey Boggs, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. This is going to be fun. This is a topic that I love to talk about. And so it's great to have you here. I'm hoping that this might be one of those episodes that we can send people to when they ask us about content marketing and why content marketing and how content marketing, sort of a primer and what it is, and maybe even talk a little bit about strategy. I think that might be fun. Let me introduce you before we get into all of that. Lacey Boggs is a content strategist, author of the best-selling Kindle ebook, Make a Killing with Content. We'll have a link to that. And she's also the director of the Content Direction Agency. She helps small business owners grow their practice with content marketing. So today we're going to talk about content marketing. Before we even start, and even before I ask you your origin story, I just want to mention your website. I love your website. If anybody has any question about how to build a website that works, I'm sure it works because it's very well designed, very well put together. It's simple, it's straightforward, and it's beautiful, beautifully branded. And I noticed that everything you do is branded with that typeface, which I love. Mm-hmm. Even the emails you sent me are in that typeface. So laceyboggs.com, you should go check that out. I just wanted to start off with that. We'll talk about that at the end as well, but definitely go check that out. Let's get into your origin story. I want to share with the audience where you discovered your passion for what you do today and share that story from that moment to where you find yourself today.
Sure. Thank you. Well, I've always been a writer since I was a kid. I've always enjoyed writing. I took a detour in college. I actually had a teacher in junior high tell me that it was very hard to make a living as a writer and that I should find something to fall back on. And so being a teenager, I decided that film would be a great thing to fall back on from writing because clearly it's much easier to make a living there. So I actually went to college and got a degree in moving image arts, which is a fancy artsy fartsy way to say film school. And then I went to Hollywood and had some very soul-sucking jobs and a very soul-sucking commute.
That's Hollywood
then,
for you.
Yeah. And finally realized that Hollywood and I really didn't get along and had a quarter life crisis and went back to writing, which was my first love. So
how did you know to go back to that? Or is it just the fallback? That's what I know. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was doing some really horrible temp jobs and I started writing on the side, like on literally on yellow legal pads. I was writing out stories because my brain was just not being engaged by the temp job I was doing.
Yeah.
And so that was when it kind of occurred to me like, hey, maybe you should try that again. And I got a job in PR for a while in California. And then when we moved to Colorado, I applied at a creative temp agency here, which, and I told them I was a copy editor and they're like, you don't have any, like literally zero copy editing experience on your resume. But I convinced them to give me the test and I scored 100%. And the guy said, I've never seen anybody score 100% on that test. So that's actually how I got back into it. And so long story short, I was a journalist before I moved into this business. I was working for a hyper-local magazine here in Colorado. I was their food editor, which nice work if you can get it. Getting paid to eat is pretty awesome. But we were so small. Such a small team. I was doing 60 to 80 hour weeks every month on deadline. We were there till 3 or 4 in the morning. And then I got pregnant and I thought, this is not sustainable with a child. And so, you know, my husband and I talked about it and I decided to go freelance. And so that first year I started a food blog because that's what you did in 2011 if you were a food writer.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't understand anything about the business model of it. So the blogging did great. I was able to attract a huge audience. I was getting 10,000 hits a month, 1,000 people on my email list. I was guest blogging for one of Martha Stewart magazine's websites. And I made like $4,000 for the whole year.
So super successful.
Super. I lovingly call that my four-figure year. So my husband took me aside at the end of the year and said, I love that you're staying home with our baby. I love that you're doing this thing and I need you to make a little more money.
Yeah.
And I said, I have a new idea. Maybe other people will pay me to blog for them. And that's where this business was born. And that was 8 years ago now. So we've been doing this for a while. I started out just me and now we have a team of 8. And we are, interestingly, all women and all moms. I didn't start out with that in mind, but it's become a real part of my why, helping other moms do what I wanted to do, stay home with their kids, but still use their brains and get paid for it.
I want to dive into all of that because I love stories.
It's a long and winding road.
I love the story of behind people, how they get to where they go. I may even create a podcast about just that because I really love that. And so I want to take you back to Hollywood, where you realized this wasn't going to work, and that moment where you're like, I'm just not going to do this. I'm going to do something else. That must have been a really difficult time for you to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because my whole, you know, persona had been built around that
right.
for years.
Yeah, and that's why I bring it up, because there are architects that have worked their whole life to become an architect. And then they get there and they're like, oh, this is just not what I expected it to be. Yeah. And some of them leave, and some of them should leave, right? They should find their true calling, their true passion. And some should continue and push through and find the place in architecture that they should be. I think so many architects stay because they've worked so hard and they've identified themselves as an architect and it was just part of their story. And like, I never had an alternative. When I decided I was going to be an architect when I was 10 and I locked in. Right? And now I'm podcasting and I've created a platform and I do a little bit of practice with my wife because she's an architect as well. But my focus and my passion is Entree Architect and what we're growing for the profession. And so I'm still in the profession. I'm still clearly an architect. But that moment where I said, okay, maybe I don't design buildings anymore and I do something else. How did you get through that? How do you get through, I've worked hard. I've spent money on film school. I've moved myself to this position. And it's clearly not where I should be. There should be something else. And writing came back, right? The true purpose, the true passion came back to you. How did you connect all those dots at that time?
Boy, I'm not sure I did at that time, but 2020 hindsight, you know, looking back now, I can see that my passion has always been in storytelling. I like to tell stories. And that took a form in filmmaking. And, you know, it was just so difficult. It's such a closed circuit in Hollywood. And I had applied for a big prestigious internship and made it, it's like a 9-month application process. And they get something like 3,000 applications for 30 spots. And I made it to the last 100. And
that makes it even harder.
I know, right? Went for the group interview, which was like the next to the last stage. I was one of only 2 or 3 women there. And I was cut from that stage. And I don't know that it was because I was a woman, but I was definitely cut at that stage. And I was definitely in the minority. And it just became so hard. And I realized that I wasn't passionate enough about it to put in the work that it would have required, and the sacrifice, and the not seeing my husband, and the 4-hour commutes every day. I got so tired, and I was like, I'm not willing to do this anymore. So that's how that happened.
Right.
But what's fascinating about it is just that now I have built this life and this business that gives me the white space and the freedom that I was craving back then, that I wasn't willing to give up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't willing to be that person that was going to go to whatever, all the lengths you would have to go to work in that industry. So while it was really hard at the time, I really don't regret it at this point.
Yeah. I think life is so much about following the opportunities that come before you, right? There are roads, right? I feel that I'm on a path, right? And that path often diverges, right? There are multiple places I can choose one, right? But I believe that there is a path that I should be on, right? And sometimes I veer off that path, and I always find myself coming back to the one that sort of is the right one. When I look back and I say, oh, that's the same path all the way through. And I never really realized it as I moved through it. And so sometimes it's just about making those hard choices to pick the path that you know is right inside, but it may be the much more difficult path. So I wanted to bring that up a little bit because I recognize that moment in your life that I think a lot of architects experience. And it's a difficult one. And so I just wanted to maybe help some of those people who are in that position now to power on with one of those paths that you know is the right path, whether it's architecture or not. Now I want to get into even more difficult conversation. You're home, you're doing your thing with the $4,000 a year job. Your husband comes to you and says, you know, you need to make more money. We need to survive here. We need more money, right? The bills are coming in and we don't have enough. So you say, I got this idea. I'm going to write for other people's blogs. How did that conversation go? Was he all in on that? Or was there a sort of a, are you kidding me moment where that's not what I meant. I need you to go get a job.
No, he's always been very supportive. And actually the economics of it didn't make sense for me to really go get a full-time job when she was a baby. At least here in Colorado, infant childcare is ridiculously expensive. So, you know, from my previous full-time job, one of the reasons I left was because more than half of my salary would have gone to infant daycare. And I was like, I'm going to like get paid half my salary not to see my kid. That seems terrible.
Yeah.
So he said, I think I made $4,000 or $5,000 that year. He said, I'd like you to triple your income for the next year. So my goal was $15,000, which looking back is like, wow, that's not that much. But at the time it seemed monumental, you know. But no, he was extremely supportive, and he was like, I want you to keep doing what you're doing. We just need to figure out a better way to do it, which I'm glad he said it, because it really lit a fire under me to do better and to do more. And I find that I work better with an external goal. So not necessarily just me saying, triple your income. But when he said, I think this is what we need to do, I was like, yes, I'm going to do that.
Right. It becomes our goal, right?
Right.
Now you have accountability. You say, okay, we're going to commit to this. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to achieve this. And now I have the support and the accountability of my husband to say, go do that. Right.
Yeah,
and
I
have that same thing with my wife. You know, we had a booming architecture firm. And I had this passion, right? Mm-hmm. And this passion grew, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. The architecture firm grew too, but this grew much faster, much bigger, and consumed much more of my time. And mm-hmm. so it was clear that this is the direction that we should go, and still practice. So we're still doing that, and we have plans to practice even more. But something you said about it gives you the freedom and the white space to pursue the things that you really love to do, and that's what's happening with me. Is that Entree Architect is growing. Gable Media is now a second company that we've started. Those things are growing, gives me the freedom to go back and do the architecture the way I want to do the architecture, right? In a completely different way, because I've continued on this path. So I want to get into content marketing here.
Right.
Because this will be a 3-hour conversation, because we are connecting well here. So let's get into content marketing. Because I wanted to get into the moms too, but I think that may take us down another. We'll have you come back to talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about content marketing. So everybody's hearing this. We hear it on the internet. Content marketing. Clearly, it's something to do with putting content out there. Define content marketing. What for you? For when you propose content marketing to a client, what is content marketing?
Yeah, to me, content marketing is anytime you are having a conversation with a potential customer with the goal of leading them to a sale. So that could be any conversation anywhere, right? This podcast that you put out is content marketing. It could be a blog. That's probably the most classic example. Could be videos. Could be, I don't care. It could be tweets and TikTok, whatever, Snapchat, wherever you are, wherever your people are
Instagram.
Hanging out. But Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, anywhere you're producing content that is a conversation with a potential customer with the goal of potentially leading them to a sale. So I think that last part, I always make sure to tack that on because that's something people forget. So they say, oh, I'm supposed to do content marketing. Okay, I'm going to be on LinkedIn every day and I'm going to post something on LinkedIn. So they just like post other people's articles or they share cool stuff they've seen, which is fine, but it's not leading anybody to a sale, right? So the marketing part of content marketing is that it's for your business to help grow your business and lead people to a sale.
Yeah. And that's important because you can spend your whole day content marketing without the marketing
part. It's a full-time job.
Right. And do lots of it. And you could love it because, you might love to write or you might love creating podcasts or creating videos or whatever you do, spend your whole day on Instagram and or TikTok. There is so many different ways to do it, but unless you have a strategy behind it, right, and you've created some sort of strategy, which I want to get into, then it's just content. It's not content marketing, right? You're just creating content. So who is it for? Who should be using content marketing? Is it for everybody?
Yes, with a caveat. I mean, I think if your business is solely based on referrals and you're fine with that and you're growing at the pace you want to grow, great. Do that. If at any point you want to expand or you want to nurture those referrals or you want to get to a place where you're not so dependent on referrals, that sort of thing, that's when content marketing or any, marketing in general comes into play. So it's when you are at a point in your business where you're ready to grow, reach a bigger audience, and scale to some degree.
We will return to our conversation after this quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, Arcat, and Monograph. Arcat.com has been assisting architecture professionals in their search for the best products for their projects for nearly 30 years. Starting as a printed desktop reference with listings in manufacturers' catalogs, Arcat has evolved into the number one most used website for finding building product information. Today, Arcat is an invaluable tool for AEC professionals, offering a powerful product search engine that's backed up by up-to-date CAD, BIM, and specifications. And just as it was in 1991, today, Arcat offers all of this at no cost to their users and without requiring any registration. It's free. Visit entrearchitect.com/Arcat today and see why architecture professionals have leveraged the power of Arcat for 3 decades. entrearchitect.com/Arcat. That's entrearchitect.com/ARCAT. Spreadsheets. Spreadsheets. Are you tired of using spreadsheets to keep track of your project plans, your budgets, your staff, your time? Our friends at Monograph know what that's like because they're architects too. They know all about that spreadsheet mess that you're dealing with. So they did something about it. Monograph is a time tracking and project management tool built for architects by architects to respond to the challenges that small and medium-sized firms face on their quest to a profitable business. With Monograph's integrated suite of tools, you'll stay on track and on budget without the overhead of wrangling spreadsheets every day. Improve your firm's operations today. Try Monograph. Try it for free at entrearchitect.com/monograph. Ditch the spreadsheets. Visit entrearchitect.com/monograph and try Monograph right now for free. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Why would I pick content marketing over advertising or some other way of marketing?
Right. So advertising is what we call outbound marketing. So we're reaching out to those people to pull them in. So if you think about like TV advertising, for example, is mass marketing. If we're watching a program, they don't know that we want a pizza, but they're going to try to sell us that pizza regardless, right? I might be vegan and not eat pizza, not eat cheese, but hey, they're still going to try to sell me that pizza. Content marketing is more inbound marketing. So we're trying to draw people in by providing them something useful, providing something that's helpful. So it's less about like the mass marketing of, I always think of mass marketing as being like a billboard where you don't know who's driving down that road. Right. You're just hoping that maybe one of your potential customers is there. Now, of course, it's gotten more sophisticated with Facebook ads and Google ads. You can target people, but still you're just sort of hoping that they want what you've got. With inbound marketing, you're actually bringing them into you. They are self-selecting and saying, I'm interested in this thing. So to me, it's just more appealing in that sense. I think there's a balance of both for lots of businesses. I don't think there's one that's better than the other.
Yeah.
But to me, inbound feels less like in your face, spammy used car salesman and more like, hey, when you're ready and when you need me, I have a solution for you.
Yeah. The one is an interruption, right? You're carrying on with your life or you're trying to get something done or you're on social media for a specific reason and you're interrupted with an ad, right? They're trying to pull your attention away to sell you something. Mm-hmm. With content marketing, you're inviting them, like you said, you're inviting them into a discussion, into a conversation with you, providing content that they are interested in. So you're inviting them into your world, which is something that they want, and you have permission now to have that relationship with the person that you're dealing with.
That's right.
And so, which is much more effective, right? You have a much more likely chance of connecting with that person with a sale, but there's good ways to do it and there are bad ways to do it, right?
Sure.
There needs to be a strategy and there needs to be an intent, and there's a way that you do it, right? And how you present the content when you ask for the sale. So can we walk through that a little bit? What are some of the steps for someone, if somebody's going to dedicate themselves to content marketing strategy? And this is going to be my way of doing it. So maybe a small startup architecture firm, they're going to use content to market their firm to get those first few projects. How do they start?
Yeah. The very first thing is to identify the goal. So what is the goal of creating this content? Do you want people to sign up for your email list? Do you want traffic to your website? Do you want people to get on a phone call with you to talk about a project? Like, what is the overall goal of the content strategy? We always talk about that first. And then I always ask people, what are the metrics we're going to use to track it? Because so often with content feels a little fluffy. Like it's like, oh, right, it's words and pictures, but there's data underneath it. And so I want to make sure that we're tracking the right things. And what I mean by that is there are what I like to call vanity metrics out there. So just because you're super popular on TikTok doesn't mean that anybody's going to hire you to design their building, right?
Right.
So we have to make sure we're tracking the right things to align with our goals, to make sure the content is doing what it's supposed to do. And then from there, we can decide what to create and where to put it. And those two are really important as well. So I keep mentioning TikTok just because it's kind of funny. I would imagine there's not as many people who are going to hire architects on TikTok as there might be on, for example, LinkedIn, right? You might have a better chance of reaching, depending on what type
Maybe.
Of business you do.
Exactly.
I guess.
It may depend on your market.
Yeah. But Instagram, like if you design houses, let's say, Instagram might be a great place to be for wealthier people who love aesthetics, right? That's a great place to reach people.
Yep.
So we want to make sure that the channels align with the goals.
Right.
And also that the kind of content you're producing aligns with the goals. So you mentioned before we started that your architects that listen to you are very busy, right? That they're very, right. They have a lot going on. And so, you know, maybe trying to reach them with a 2-hour webinar isn't the right channel because they're busy. They don't have time for 2 hours to sit there and listen to you talk, right? But if you could give them, for example, a series of 5-minute or 10-minute videos, that might be a lot more exciting for them to consume in bite-sized pieces, right? So we got to consider all those things before we ever say, okay, now what am I going to talk about?
Right.
So my strategy is always to start with those big picture whys. Why am I doing this for me? But also, why am I doing this for my customer? What are they going to get out of it? And then move down from there. And then the last question is, what am I going to talk about?
Right. Right. So can we go through that again? So yeah. Goals, pick a big goal. What is your goal?
What's
the intent of creating this content? Then how do you track that? So you can identify whether you are meeting that goal or not. You know, if you're moving in the right direction, then did I understand it right? That you sort of need to pick a platform.
Have to be just one, but where, like, I guess it's more thinking about your customer at that stage. Where are they hanging out? What do they want?
Okay. So identify the customer and where they're hanging out.
Yeah. And that'll help you identify your channels and how you're going to reach out to them.
All right. So find your target market. So goals, tracking, target market, which we talk about all the time here. Then you pick your channels based on who you're trying to target. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, you know, looking for, 18-year-olds who like to dance around, TikTok might be the place for you to go. But you know, TikTok could be used if your market's there, because there are lots of adults using TikTok now.
Sure.
You
can really stand out on TikTok at this
point. Yeah. And I've found some really interesting content on TikTok, you know, where for gardening or for cooking if you have something specific in architecture that you can demonstrate in a very short form, because it's TikTok's really quick, and your market is there, right? Because some of our markets are there, I can tell you, because I'm looking at TikTok in order to. It's very entertaining, first of all.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's addictive, right? Because it's just constantly quick and flipping through, and it has an algorithm that starts to show you content that you're interested in. So if you are looking for cooking, or if you're looking for you know, cars, which is something I like. I like, you know, hot rods and fast cars. It starts showing me all more of that content. So if somebody's into interiors or architecture, they'll start sending that person more and more of that type of content. I don't want to focus on TikTok, but I wanted to actually identify that it is a potential channel. Yeah. So goals, tracking, target market, decide on the channel, and then start deciding what you're going to provide in terms of content.
Right. And that's where we get into what you were asking about, like, how do I lead them to a sale, right? How does the content I'm going to produce actually grow my business? One framework I use a lot, especially so for people like architects, you don't launch something. You don't have a new product that you're going to launch, or a product line, or a Christmas sale, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you have to create your own sales cycles to some extent. And so I often recommend for people that they take a month as a unit, and then think about, what am I going to promote during this month? And then we use an old copywriting formula, like from Mad Men days. It's called AIDA. It stands for attention, interest, desire, and action. And when it was originally designed, it was for a long-form sales letter, or what today we might know as like a sales page on the web page. And you would hit all four of those points in the letter. But what I realized is you can actually turn it sideways and drip it out over time through blog or videos or whatever it is. So you start, week one is your attention post. That's your attention grabber. What's going to grab eyeballs? What's going to get people to click? Week right. two is your interest. What can I teach? How can I hold their interest around this subject? Week three is desire. How do I create desire for the solution I have? So a lot of times that's case studies or even something like, imagine what it would be like if you had this building that would solve all your problems, whatever that is. And the last one is take action. So the last one for an architect might be something like, do you know how easy it is to schedule an appointment with me? Or here's what we do when you fill out my application, or, you know, kind of overcoming any objections they might have. There's no money down. You don't have to pay to talk to me, whatever it is, right? That's kind of your action. And so when you drip it out over time like that, it leads people down the path towards a sale. My favorite metaphor for this is thinking of it like rocks in a river. If you think of your customer as being on one side of the river and a sale as being on the other, your content is the rocks in the river. If you just throw them out willy-nilly, your customer's probably going to fall in the river and wash away. If you put them, though, the right pieces, the right size, at the right spacing, it makes it much easier for the client to get across and make a sale. So it's kind of a visual way of imagining, like, am I putting the rocks in the river at the right time, the right kind of rock to make that an easy journey?
Yeah, that's great. I love the formula, right? So it's attention, interest, desire, action.
Yep.
And if many of us may start wanting that sale right away. So you post content and there's like a click to buy button, right?
Yeah.
And you instantly are rejected. And it's content marketing doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't work because it's not being done properly. And so to have a formula like this, and you break it down into 4 weeks or a month worth of content, you have your attention and you're just trying to get noticed, right? In that first week, just trying to connect, yeah, right? Find the right people looking at you. And so they want more, right? So they want more. And then you start giving them something that they're interested in, something you teach them, because now you have the audience, you have the eyeballs, you start teaching them something, you start giving them something they're interested in. Then it becomes a desire, right? You start planting the seeds that you can do this, right? We can help you with this.
Right.
This is something that
we can solve
that
your problem.
Right. And then finally you go for the sale. You finally start providing ways for them to take action to get to the next step, right? It might be schedule a call, or, you know, fill out this form, or whatever that next step is in the process. You know, get them to your website so you can take them through another process on the website.
Yeah. Notice we're not saying, give me $25,000 right now on this blog post. It's a little like dating, right? We're not going to ask you to marry me on the very first date. You kind of have to, okay, buy me dinner first, you know? So you have to walk people through this so they're comfortable with you. It's about building up that know, like, and trust factor, because all things being equal, we do business with people we know, like, and trust. And the more you can tell stories and share information and be useful, the more people are going to know, like, and trust you. And that's what content marketing is all about. It's that give and take. It's that conversation. And we're looking for that mini yes with a piece of content. It's not necessarily, okay, I'm going to write you a check. It's like, yes, I'll read your next blog post. Yes, I'll get on your email list. Yes, I will apply for a call. Yes, I will actually show up to the call, right? Every one of those yeses gets a little bigger, and then they're ready to make the big yes.
Right, right. And you're building a rapport with them all along. You're building more and more trust, right? Because it takes a lot of trust for somebody to say, yes, do my project. Here's a check for $25,000.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that from a blog post.
No.
Right. So that's not the goal.
Definitely not, right.
The goal is not the sale. The goal is to get them into your world, right? So you can then take them through another process, which can be a very similar process. You can take them through your website and go through the process on your website, which is a different conversation, which then may lead to, you know, building that connection with them, having those touch points where eventually you'd be able to ask for the sale.
Right.
And so I love this. This is very, very top of the funnel, if you think about it in terms of the funnel. At the very bottom, at the point of the funnel, is the final sale, that $25,000 deposit. Up at the top, the funnel is really, really wide. You're just trying to, and that attention phase is you just looking at the whole world, right? And trying to find
casting the net.
Yeah, find a few people within that world who may be interested in something that you do, right? And then they just get filtered through the funnel. And some people hear that funnel, it's like, oh, you're just forcing them into a sale, but it's not. You're inviting them into a conversation, right?
Right. It's what Seth Godin coined the term permission marketing, which means we're, instead of the ad, like we talked about earlier, yep. that just interrupts you and pops up right. whether you like it or not, we're asking permission. So each of those yeses is permission to keep marketing to them. So when they click on a thing and sign up for your email list, for example, they're saying, yes, please market to me more.
Exactly. Right. And if you're looking
they for may a book, not realize they're saying that, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a book to read, read Permission Marketing by Seth Godin. Great.
Do you know that was such a revolutionary idea when he yes. published that book in 1999? He got kicked out of a National Marketers Association for writing yep. that book. Yeah. And now it's totally
it is the way to do marketing. Do. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. He was so and he still is ahead of his time. He's a genius. Yeah. But that is a fantastic book. It was way ahead of its time. But it worked then and it works today.
It works now.
And so read that book and you'll learn a lot about what we're talking about here.
Also, I wanted to mention like at the attention phase, you're not speaking to the whole world necessarily. You're speaking to the exact person that can benefit from your service. So I don't know very much about architecture, but I assume that many of your people listening specialize in a specific kind of architecture or a specific type Good of point, building yep. that they work. And so you're only speaking to those people who are looking for help, who need a building, who need a design, who need somebody, an expert, right? So you're not the Coca-Cola or the Walmart of the world trying to reach everybody. You can actually speak to one specific person in your head. And what's amazing about that is that because there's whatever, 8 billion of us, there are plenty of that person out there. So think about your favorite customer, your most valuable customer, and write directly to them when you're writing that attention post. What would get them to stop scrolling? What would get them to click? What myth do they believe that you need to overcome, right? That you can bust a myth and like blow their mind. Yeah. That's what's going to get attention. And that's what's going to draw in the right kind of people for you.
Yeah, that's super valuable. Thank you for clarifying that. Lacey, before we wrap things up, I wanted to ask you the one question that I ask everybody here. And it's a big, wide open question, so it's easy to answer. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I think stopping to think about what that goal is for your marketing is probably the first step that will actually really help your business. Because regardless of what kind of marketing you decide to do tomorrow, regardless of whether you want to start a blog or a podcast, or you're like, I'm just going to be on TikTok and do funny dances about architecture, understanding the goal will make whatever action you take so much more effective. So just take 5 minutes and think about what do you want to achieve by doing marketing? What do you want to achieve by putting out content? Once you know that, the other pieces are much easier to put into place.
Yeah, good advice. Her name is Lacey Boggs with 2 G's, LACYBOGGS. Website is easy, LaceyBoggs.com. Again, I started off this podcast with recommending that you go visit LaceyBoggs.com. Go do that, because that alone is an education on how to present yourself with a brand. Very, very well done. Lacey, is there anything else that architects might be interested in over at your website?
Sure. If you go to laceyboggs.com/library, I have put together a library of resources. It's a very low cost, resource with a whole bunch of my best stuff. So worksheets and videos and stuff to help guide you through creating your own content marketing plan from scratch. And that's a really great way to dip your toe in and see if this is a good thing for you, a good fit for your business. And it's a great way to get a little more information about the stuff. We barely scratched the surface today I just talk too much, but it's a great way to get a little more in-depth
I enjoyed our conversation. So laceyboggs.com/library, go visit that and grab that information. Also, I didn't ask you this earlier, so I don't have it written down. Is there any place, since I'm sure, where on social media is a better question, where on social media can people connect with you?
Yeah, I'm most active on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook, search for Lacey Boggs and the Content Direction Agency. But I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram. So you can check in with me there as well.
All right, Lacey, thank you very much for joining us here today and sharing your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. You've been listening to episode 352 here at the Entree Architect Podcast. If you would like to access the show notes or share this episode with a friend, the link is entrearchitect.com/episode352. That's entrearchitect.com/episode352. Please pop that link into an email right now and just send it to one friend who may not know what we're doing here at Entree Architect, and I would appreciate that. Entree Architect Podcast is proud to be a part of the largest, most engaged AEC multimedia network on the planet. Have you heard about it? Gable Media. We are curating thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to Entree Architect Podcast and all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. And check out Entree Architect Academy membership, ready to edit business resources. We've got them for you. Live monthly training, business training. Yeah, we have that too. And a supportive architect community. Yeah, we have that too. It's all there waiting for you at Entree Architect Academy membership. And we just met this past Wednesday for our December expert training session with Steve Stockman, the LA-based writer, director, producer of TV, film, and video. Steve taught us how to get from story to video. If you missed it, the recording will be available inside the member archive, where we have over 60 webinar training sessions available for members on demand. So Entree Architect expert training sessions happen on the first Wednesday of every month. So if you're a member, you get an expert training session every month, first Wednesday of every month. We gather on Zoom for 60 minutes and learn from an expert. And we actually have our questions answered too. So we listen to the expert training. So we have a live webinar. And then because it's live, we can ask questions and we get our questions answered at the end of the session in a really great Q&A session every month. Next month's session is Shannon Lee, the director of coaching at Win Without Pitching. She'll be back to follow up on her last session a few months back. This time she'll be training on the qualifying question. The qualifying question. If you have read the book Win Without Pitching by author Blair Enns, first of all, you should go read that book, Win Without Pitching by Blair Enns. You know that the qualifying conversation is a critical step in the sales process. And Shannon Lee is the director of coaching at the training that Blair Enns does. That's basically what his business is. He is a trainer who trains on sales and marketing. And Shannon runs the training. She's the director of coaching there. And so she's been here before. She is fantastic. She's been on the podcast here as well. And she's coming back in January to teach on the qualifying conversation. If you get that right, you will be working with your best clients and get paid what you're worth. If you get that conversation wrong or miss it altogether, like many of us, you'll continue to struggle with the wrong clients for your firm. So in addition to the business resources, community, and training, join us live each month for expert training sessions, business training for small firm architects. It's inside the Entree Architect Academy membership. And something new is coming. Something new is coming to Entree Architect Academy membership in 2021, this coming month, this coming year, next month. Next month is December. That was a quick year, right? Coming in 2021, simple systems. You're going to hear a lot about Entree Architect simple systems. They are quick and simple business systems built for small firm architects. For years, you've been telling us that that's what you need to build your business, right? You need to build your business systems. It's the one thing holding you back. These little systems that you haven't yet built for your business to help automate and delegate and do all the eights that you need for your business. Well, simple systems, they're coming. And members will get every simple system for free. We're building them. We're going to build a bunch of them next year. Actually, we're in the process of building them now. They'll be launched next year. And members are going to get every one of them free. You'll be able to buy them outside of membership as well, but members are going to get them for free. So join us now at Entree Architect membership at entrearchitect.com/join. You can join us right now and gain all those benefits, all those great trainings and the community and the the simple systems, they're all in there at Entree Architect Membership, entrearchitect.com/join. I hope to see you there at Entree Architect Academy. Be well, my friends. Be happy, be healthy, safe, and secure. Thank you very much for listening to the Entree Architect podcast today. Love, learn, and share what you know. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.